You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
It's called a Christmas tree legislation. And a Christmas tree legislation is when every congressman and senator puts his little ornament on the tree. It's his blackmail. It's his bribe. I'll vote for your bill, but I want this thing for my special constituent or my special interest group. So that's one of the reasons that President Trump is vetoing these. There's a lot of stuff in these bills that have absolutely nothing to do with what they're supposed to do, whether fund the Defense Department or give relief to the American citizens. So I think he's right to do it.
December the 28th, 2020, the words of K.T. McFarland, President Trump's former deputy national security officer, as to why he delayed in signing the COVID relief bill and the attached omnibus bill, $2.3 trillion total. As you heard her say, that it was a Christmas tree bill. Everybody's going to put their ornament on it. They want this passed. They want that passed. We talked about last week all the money that was going to foreign nations and everything from gender understanding in Pakistan to public broadcasting. What does that have to do with COVID relief? Well, now, there were two separate bills. Keep in mind, there were two separate bills. But the point that comes down to the nitty-gritty, the amount of money given to Americans who are suffering and businesses suffering because of this COVID, it could have been multiplied many times over if you weren't throwing money to all these other countries, all of these other Christmas tree ornaments. So the president finally did go ahead and sign the bill, reluctantly, and still is encouraging some changes. The president issued a statement saying, "I will never give up my fight for the American people. As president, it is my responsibility to protect the people of our country from the economic devastation and hardship caused by the China virus. I understand many small businesses have been forced to close as a result of harsh actions by Democrat-run states. Many people are back at work, but my job is not done until everyone is back to work." So he decided to move forward and sign this bill, which provides basically $600 per person up to a certain income. He wants $2,000. He's still demanding get a check to $2,000 to each American. Now, Senator Rand Paul the other day did an excellent job of saying we can't just throw money at it this constantly. Well, we're at a point now where, yeah, we need to. And it's not a matter of the money. It's where it's being spent. You take all this money, this part of this omnibus bill to keep the government running and all these other Christmas tree ornaments, you would have had more money for Americans. Republicans are the ones balking at this point, and Democrats are going to make some political hay out of it, saying the president wants a $2,000 check. We're all for it. Yeah, they've been all for it. They've been for it from the beginning, but they also wanted all the rest of their Green Deal stuff thrown in. Trump had said, give me a clean bill. Back in the summer, give me a clean bill. We'll get money to the Americans now. And Democrats would not do it because under Pelosi it would look like a win for Trump, and they could not have that in advance of the election. Speaking of the election, the legal battles do continue. They're not over yet. Some Republican senators are now coming on board to challenge Electoral College numbers. In fact, Congresswoman-elect Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, said some Republicans have already said they will join a challenge to the Electoral College votes when the joint session of Congress meets January 6th. The process must be initiated in requiring one senator, one House representative. Already, Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama and several other GOP House lawmakers have pledged to challenge the votes. And by the way, to that extent, Sidney Powell says the White House aides are blocking her efforts to help Trump. We are hoping to schedule Sidney Powell for tomorrow. Been talking to her. Unless she's in the air, she should be available for us tomorrow. We'll work out details on that later. And when you look at what's happened in Georgia, there's clear evidence we've got some problems still. We are 11 days into Georgia's U.S. runoff election, and a large majority of that state's counties still cannot produce a chain of custody documents for 460,000 absentee ballots. And we're right on the verge of going into the Georgia election, which is so critical. We're going to get into that. John LaBoutiere will join us from New York. The media blaming Trump for all the anger and angst and violence in the nation. And in the midst of this pandemic, a movie comes out based on the pandemic. You didn't know this? I'll explain. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road, a pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream, feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, oh, number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And I'm
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Operation Warp Speed will go down historically as a highly successful endeavor, which allowed us to do things with regard to the timing of it and the effectiveness of it in a way that a few years ago people never would have imagined.
So says Dr. Anthony Fauci, giving credit to President Trump. Even Joe Biden has acknowledged recently, yeah, warp speed, that's been pretty effective. Remember when all the mainstream media was saying that Trump is drinking his Kool-Aid again, talking about he can have this vaccine delivered before the end of the year. He can't do it. And we did. So now what's the next attack? Well, they still will not give any credit to Trump. They just refuse, even though a couple of those inside CNN, even Jake Tapper, had to stumble his way through and say, Trump belongs to try and get some, you know, kind of credit for this and move on quickly. Look, we're still not dealing with it properly. He hasn't done everything he should. Trump obviously wanted vaccines available as soon as possible. And, of course, those who were opposing him were denying it could happen and saying he's just making political rhetoric. It can't happen. It can't happen. And if you recall, the day after the election, one of the pharmaceutical companies came out and said, we have a vaccine ready. They did not say it in advance. They said the day after the election. Of course, who's to say when the day of the election was and when it ended? I mean, we had ballots after ballots after ballots coming in days later. But they still want to blame Trump for the whole thing, the whole mess that it came here on his watch. And you hear Biden say, Obama and I had a plan. We had a plan and they ignored it. You didn't have any plan. You didn't have anything different. And Trump did push private and government sectors to work together to get a vaccine out quickly, as fast as possible. Now, of course, here's where they're now going in. Now, we were told, apparently, Operation Warp Steed. Let me read you and give you the angle that comes from the mainstream media. Listen, I have to do this for you. Somebody's got to get down in the muck and read and mess with this pigsty stuff that's all over the floor here. But I'll get in there and I'll do it for you to save you the trouble. Let me read this from CNN and NNN. While the coronavirus pandemic continued to surge throughout the summer and fall, federal government officials repeatedly offered a ray of hope, enough vaccine doses to vaccinate 20 million Americans by the end of December. But after the first week of vaccine distribution, and with only 9 days left to meet their self-imposed deadline, Operation Warp Speed is on track to fall well short of 20 million shots in arms. One count from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows about 9.5 million doses have been distributed as of Saturday morning, about 1.9 million vaccinated, not even close to the 20 million goal Warp Speed originally set. Do you see what they just did? They're acknowledging, yeah, we got a vaccine, but we didn't get it in the arms of 20 million Americans by the end of December. Bah-ha-ha, you failed. Is this what you want? Is this what you want, to continually have folks attack the best efforts underway? Do you think anybody on the Democrat side would have been able to get anything moving forward like this? Well, I'm not going to say they couldn't, because we don't know, do we? What we do know is that under Trump, we did. We got it. We moved forward. And he was pushing for more relief for Americans and American businesses, even in the midst of going up to the election. But the Democrats and Pelosi acknowledging, no, we're not going to give you anything, because, in their opinion again, the more you suffer, the more you're going to blame Trump. And it was a perfect storm. It was a perfect storm with COVID coming to our shores. This time last year, our economy was boiling and cooking and rolling into 2020. I mean, it was on fire. Everything looked good and rosy. And then COVID came to our shores from China. China, which they still want to push aside and say it's a COVID, call it the COVID-19. You can call it what you want. We know where it started. The mainstream media knows where it started, but they do not want to give it any credence that it came from China. And then, of course, as it began to hit, there was confusion in the beginning. That's understandable. We'd never seen anything like this before. But I want to take a moment to tell you. There is a movie I came across last night. I haven't watched it because I'm kind of tired of all the COVID. But I've gone into the story long enough, and I'm going to spend more time on it in the next hour. There's a movie, one of the few movies produced through this year, has to do with COVID. Only it looks ahead to the future, that is now COVID-23 instead of 19. And billboards all over the nation showing 8 million deaths in the U.S. And billboards saying, stay home, you're in a lockdown. And federal troops enforcing a lockdown in your homes. Science fiction? Is it science fiction? We'll get into it in more detail a little bit later in this hour. Next hour, I should say. But again, we had the confusion in the beginning. Let me give you some examples of confusion. Fauci did the same thing in the beginning. Said, mask or not, you know, it's not a big deal. I mean, you have to realize that he was in the beginning as well saying, you know, I don't think we really need, masks won't do that much good. Now, we still do not know. No one has asked him specifically that I know of. Did you say masks won't do any good because you're afraid the American public would suck them all up and there wouldn't be enough for first-line health workers? If so, just say it. Just admit it. He's already been caught in a couple lies anyway, and Senator Marco Rubio is one of the other ones coming out and saying exactly this. Let me quote. Dr. Fauci lied about the mask in March. He's been distorting the level of vaccination needed for herd immunity. It isn't just him. Many in elite bubbles believe the American public doesn't know what's good for them, so they need to be tricked into doing the right thing. Rubio was commenting on vaccines after Fauci gave an interview to the New York Times on public health officials quietly shifting the percentage of American people they say must get the vaccine to achieve herd immunity. Fauci, according to the paper, said, when polls said only about half of all Americans would take a vaccine, I was saying herd immunity would take 70 to 75%. Then when newer surveys said 60% or more would take it, I thought, I can nudge this up, so I went for 80 to 85. In addition to Fauci, Surgeon General Jerome Adams, in Feb of this year, the second month of this year, exhorted Americans, quote, to stop buying masks. I mean, he flat out said, stop buying the mask. So months later, Dr. Jerome Adams, Surgeon General, Fauci, and other American public officials were saying, masks are the best way to stop the spread of the disease. Jerome Adams, in a White House briefing in July, laid out what had changed. He said, well, health organizations and professionals originally recommended against the general public wearing masks because, based on the best evidence at the time, it was not deemed it would have a significant impact on whether or not a health person was wearing a mask would contact COVID-19. He said, what's changed in our recommendation? We know from recent studies a significant portion of individuals with coronavirus lack symptoms, and those that eventually become pre-symptomatic can transmit the virus before they show symptoms. But again, it was confusing. Was it not confusing? Of course it was confusing. But Fauci, again, in an interview just this weekend, said, Really, with the vaccines coming on board, still nothing really has changed.
Nothing should really change right now with regard to the public health measures that hopefully we have all already been doing. And you know what they are, the universal wearing of masks, mm-hmm. physical distancing, avoid congregate settings, particularly indoors, washing hands. Until we get the level of virus so dramatically low in society, in the community, we still must practice public health measures. So a vaccine right now at the stage that we're at should not change anything when it comes to the public health measures that we're implementing.
So do you feel any better? Do you feel any better? Do you think we need to continue to lock down? You'd have to wear your mask and we're going to drag it out. Now we've got to have herd immunity. We don't get that until we get 80 to 85%. The state of California, this reported out of, San Francisco Gate publication yesterday. The state of California is now reporting the highest number of new daily COVID-19 cases per capita in the country. And it has some of the tightest restrictions. It points out restrictions have become tighter in California, even as other states have been able to relax some of the rules. In Los Angeles, even walking has been forbidden except for particular purposes, though the rule is not being enforced, they say. The theory that restrictions might have contributed to the surge suggests because Californians were not given the same freedom earlier in the year that residents of other states enjoyed, public patience with restrictions has been exhausted, people no longer obeying the rules. And this is in California, where they want to all follow the government and do socialized everything. It came out yesterday. according to Johns Hopkins University. Sunday, yesterday, the nation, our nation, saw significant decreases in COVID-19 cases and deaths. Marks it were two of the lowest in weeks. Still showing 150,000 new coronavirus cases, if that's factual, and we have more testing, and 1,200 related deaths nationwide in the last 2 weeks, as of yesterday, I should say, just yesterday, and the lowest since late November. Where do we stand now? We've got 330,000 deaths, I believe, at this point, and we got, I lost track of how many, 9 million or so reported positive. The numbers have gotten where they don't mean anything to us anymore because from the beginning it's been confusing and many Americans are making their own. And if in California they're seeing it go up because folks out in California say, enough, I'm tired of being locked down, those aren't the Trump supporters that are doing that, my friend. Those are your leftists who say, now I'm tired of being locked down. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. We have this vote coming up in Georgia, very, very important. And Stacey Abrams, who once ran for governor of Georgia, says the only way Democrats will lose is if Republicans suppress the voting numbers. Really? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We're going to do what we've been doing, which is we are going to work to mitigate voter suppression. You are absolutely right that when voter suppression was put on its heels in the 2020 election through the work of Fair Fight 2020 and other organizations around the country, we saw voters turn out in record numbers and in record composition in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, here in Georgia. When we create access to the right to vote for eligible citizens, more people participate. And Republicans do not know how to win without voter suppression as one of their tools.
So says Stacey Abrams, one-time 2018 Georgia Democratic gubernatorial candidate, and saying that we put the voter suppression the Republicans trying to put on us, we put it on his heels in 2020. Said, look what happened we did here in Georgia and Michigan, Wisconsin. We got voters on record numbers. And then she says, when we create access to the right to vote for eligible citizens, more people participate. There's not a Republican I know, not a conservative I know, not any American I really know, that is not in favor of eligible citizens participating, exercising their right to vote under the law as it's written when you had the election held. What you had in several of these states, they kept shifting the deadlines as to when your absentee ballot could get in, and they mailed out numerous multi-million ballots to folks who never even asked for them, never verified signatures. In other words, it was not voter suppression we're talking about. We're talking about voter authenticity. Voter suppression took place with the poll tax, which was put in place in the South by Democrats. All we're trying to do is make sure the vote is legal. And I pointed out in the opening monologue, we are 11 days until Georgia's U.S. runoff election. And even now, a large majority of the state's counties have failed to produce chain of custody documents for some 460,000 absentee ballots dropped into drop boxes counted in the state's November 3rd election. Joe Biden leading Donald Trump in the 2020 presidential contest by just 11,000 votes, and there are 460,000 absentee ballots, and no one can track the chain of custody. That spells fraud, in my opinion. And I think, I hope in Georgia, the ones who were maybe thinking, well, I don't know if my vote will count if it's going to be cheap. You need to get out there and vote, and I hope everyone does. We have enough of the leftists moving in trying to establish residency at the last minute. The Secretary of State, Georgia, said, we will prosecute anyone coming into the state just for the act of voting, doing it fraudulently, voting in their state elsewhere and then voting here, or trying to establish residency just for the purpose of voting and then going back. They need to keep in mind Joe Biden has promised to impose $4 trillion in new or higher taxes. On day one, he will repeal the Republican-passed Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. That's about a $2,000 tax increase for most families. Biden promising to reinstate Obamacare individual mandate tax. You either buy the government-approved health insurance or you pay a $2,000 tax. A $2 trillion carbon tax would increase costs for middle-class families. Is this what you want? If you let them get control of the Senate, they will do it. They will have control of the Senate and the House and the White House. We'll take a break when we come back. John LaBoutière from New York, Reaganite Republican, not so much a Trumper. Let's see where he stands in some of these latest efforts. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest, a lot of you love to hear from, and some of you, well, as we discussed last time, don't really hate him, but hate some of his ideas. John LaBoutière, former U.S. Congressman from New York, author of the book Harvard Hates America. John, first of all, I hope you had a Merry Christmas.
I did, Larry. Same. I hope you did, too.
I did.
Happy everything to all of you.
And to you, and
your
of course,
listeners.
We're looking forward to a new year coming up. And we have a lot of things still in play. First of all, let's get your take on how important the Georgia election is for Republicans and the nation going forward.
Well, it's pretty darn important because running the Senate means blocking crazy stuff from Biden and Pelosi. We know historically if one party controls the presidency, the House, and the Senate, they go too far. This applies to the Democrats and the Republicans. Biden's got the White House, obviously. He's got the House. And if he wins these two seats next Tuesday, they'll have the Senate, too. And it'll go too far to the left, I'm sure. Whereas if we keep the Senate, we block a lot of the crazy stuff. And government will actually work better.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi's already said that if we win those seats, she don't want the Democrats, then we really have a super Senate. I mean, in other words, we have reconciliation measures we can push forward. We can basically get things done without really going past a simple majority vote on anything.
Correct. Reconciliation can be used on budget issues, spending. So they only need 51, or in this case, 50 votes if you have the vice president breaking the tie, which they'll have with Harris. So now the Democrats need to win both seats to get it to 50-50. And I don't think any of us really, I haven't read or heard anybody who really can predict what's going to happen next Tuesday. Well, other than it'll probably be close.
Well, speaking of that, we have, you know, with this closing in as we have right now, the Georgia Star News reports we still have 460,000 absentee ballots. They got dropped in drop boxes. They got counted in the November 3rd general election. 460,000, and a large majority of the state's counties cannot produce chain of custody documents for those 460,000 absentee ballots. I smell fraud at the very beginning of that.
Well, I had not heard those numbers. And also, we have a Republican Secretary of State running the election in in Georgia. So I don't buy that number. I don't buy it.
It's a Georgia Star News. I don't know. I'm just quoting it.
I will say
the Secretary of State has said we are going to prosecute anyone coming into Georgia trying to just vote for this election and that purpose only. We will only want legitimate Georgians voting.
Well, I'm sure that's true, too. Listen, this guy, the Secretary of State who oversees the elections, he not only is he a lifelong Republican, he's a Trumper. He voted for Trump. The idea that this guy's sitting there perpetrating a fraud, it's not accurate. He's a good guy. The fact of the matter is Trump lost Georgia, so people have to get over it. You know? And
John,
as opposed to, for next week, we got to just see who votes, how many people vote, are the Republicans going to come out and vote, are the black Democrats who came out in the presidential race, are they going to vote in high enough numbers for the Democrats to win these Senate seats? And nobody knows.
Many in the nation, obviously we got a pretty good split, and would say 70 million plus, believe that the election got stolen. That includes some Democrats. And they go back to the absentee balloting. I know you do not accept that, but I just want to ask your view on a commission on federal election reform headed up by President Jimmy Carter pointed out the absentee ballots are the largest source of potential voter fraud. The New York Times in 2010 said votes cast by mail less likely to be counted, more likely to be compromised. Fraud is easier by mail. And this time we had an overwhelming number, and they kept changing the dates of when they were due. Does that not say this election was not run as it should have been across the nation?
No, it was run very well by 50 separate states. Some Republican and some Democrat, all with both parties participating in the electoral count voting process. Not one credible claim of any fraud has shown up in any court case since November 3rd.
John, they've not been allowed to present. They haven't been allowed to present the evidence. They just present an opening argument. They said, "No, we don't hear more." They have not actually presented.
No, they don't.
Evidence.
That's not true. The federal courts and the state courts have asked Trump's lawyers in these cases to produce evidence of fraud, and they haven't produced any. There is none. And you know it, between Newsmax and Fox and OAN and talk radio, if they had a case of an instance of massive widespread fraud, they would have put it out there for the public to see. The answer is they don't have it. And I think we ought to go backwards for a minute and say the reason there were 100 million absentee or paper ballots this year was because of the virus.
Right.
Every state determined that the way to vote this year was to have their voters have the option of voting by mail. And they did. And the idea that all these different states, including ones under Republican control, are sitting there purposely rigging it against Trump makes no sense. It's not what happened.
And let me ask
it's
this.
It's gotten to the point where you're wasting your time. You talk about it every time I'm on.
Well, I do,
Larry,
because
you got to move on.
Let me ask you this then. We got Republican senators who are on board for an electoral college challenge coming up.
Now, maybe,
what do you make
maybe,
of that? All right, maybe. Mo Brooks and others. We'll see how it comes together.
We have one senator elect. Tommy Tuberville from Alabama, who said he might challenge it.
Well, Mo Brooks and others have pledged to challenge
the
votes.
That's a congressman.
Whether or not they need one in each house.
You do.
The general attitude of the public is if it's stolen, or how? Don't you think that causes a tremendous divide in the country? If we got,
I do. I think it's on Trump. Trump is the one who's dividing the country. We've got the latest polls show that 75% of Republicans believe it was stolen.
You're right, and about I believe 10 to 12% of Democrats,
32% of Independents think it was stolen.
Right,
5% of Democrats think it was stolen.
I thought the number is higher, but I'll go with your number.
Yeah, so 95% of Democrats say it wasn't stolen. 25% of Republicans, including me, say it was not stolen. And I'm not saying that there aren't people out there who would like to steal it, because that's our history in America. People, LBJ was stealing elections in Texas. The Kennedys were stealing elections. I mean, this has gone on. But those were usually one state, one area, boom, they rigged a ballot box and made the difference.
You know,
this is 7 million votes.
And this involves a Dominion voting system that several states adopted. And not only adopted, they all were on the same system.
That has nothing to do with paper.
Well, it raises a
question. Now you've gone from paper.
No. I'm putting it all together. I'm trying to look at all of it. I don't know, John. I don't know. All I know is that there are so many questions that cannot be resolved in the time frame we have.
They've had time. They've had recounts in all these states that asked for them. Trump paid for a recount, a partial recount.
So what happens?
Ended up, Biden got more votes after the recount that Trump paid for.
So what happens if 6 months down the road, there's clear and undeniable evidence that the numerous votes were shifted and changed, either absentee or by machines, and then the answer is, well, sorry, it's all over. That's ball game's over. Is that satisfying?
Well, you're asking a hypothetical.
Yes,
what happens in 6 months if something happens? First of all, I don't know what will happen in 6 months. Second, I will bet you money that what you're saying will never happen. Because there is no evidence. If there was any evidence like you're talking about, it would come out now. It would have come out in November, not in June.
I would have to remind you, John, that we talked about, I'm glad we didn't bet it, but I think you told me that clearly the Mueller commission would find Trump guilty of all kinds of Russian collusion and he'd be out of office, wouldn't see the term end.
Right. Well, I probably did say that.
I'm sorry.
By the way, I'll
we put no money on that.
I'll make another prediction. The Mueller probe aside, the Russian angle with Trump is not finished. And when Trump is gone out of office, that thing's going to come back in a way.
So what about the China Biden investigation? What do you think about that?
What about it?
Well, do you think there's questions to be raised there? Do you think he's the guy that is in as a, quote, Manchurian candidate for the Chinese this time around?
No, I don't think it's. This is all crazy conspiracy stuff you're throwing around. By the way, on the Dominion voting machines, I heard this exact thing in 2000 in reverse. George W. Bush greases out a win in Florida over Al Gore and becomes president. 75% of Democrats then said Bush is an illegitimate president. They stole the election in Florida. He didn't really win. And the Diebold voting machines were rigged because the owner of them is a Bush and Republican supporter. Exact same argument in reverse.
And I gave you the final. I gave you the final statement. We'll do it again, John. I look forward to it,
great.
Sir.
Next year, Larry.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year to you, John.
All right. Send you, Larry.
You
bye-bye.
Bet. John LaBoutière. Always a great interview. Always engaging. Now, what if I told you about political correctness that would have you shaking your head again?
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You cry all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, I did not get a chance because of a time get into John and Sidney Powell. Since she is one of the ones on the Trump group that is convinced this is a fraudulent election and needs to be reviewed. Sidney Powell, we've had on a couple weeks ago now, and scheduled for tomorrow, which she and I have been communicating back and forth over the holiday here, and I think we're still going to get her. She might be in a plane at the time we're on the air, but I'm still trying to lock it down, and I'll bring you up to speed on that. A lot of you were interested in her comments last time. She clearly believes that, yes, we had some fraud going on. And she's also saying, according to a piece quoted by Epoch Times, that White House aides are blocking her efforts to help Trump. Supposedly she had a meeting with some senior White House aides in the Oval Office last Friday, If you recall, the New York Times had reported that it might have included Trump, Sidney Powell, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, White House Chief of Staff Meadows, and White House Counsel Pat Cipollone, and National Security Advisor O'Brien, Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, participating by phone. So hopefully we can get her booked for tomorrow. We have her on the schedule. I will keep you apprised on that, but be listening for that. We were talking about political correctness, and I got to tell you, every time I see something like this, I think, when are we going to stop it? Just stop it. Well, it's not going to happen anytime soon. From one of our institutions of higher learning, as they like to bill themselves, the University of Michigan IT department, the IT department. I don't know why the IT department, but in this case, the IT department, the University of Michigan, announcing a Words Matter Task Force. Words Matter Task Force. Everything matters except blue lives matter and aborted babies' lives, I guess. Anyway, they have determined there's a term, several terms that are offensive, and you need to all use alternatives. One of the offensive words is brown bag. Brown bag. You know, if you're bringing a bag to, you bring your lunch in a brown bag, you don't have a Mickey Mouse lunchbox holder. You don't have that anymore, or Roy Rogers. Well, you use a brown bag maybe. Now, it's not clear why brown bag would be offensive, but they're also going after the term picnic because they think that it might originate with claims on social media that the word has its origins in the lynching of African Americans. Now, Reuters says back in July, the term picnic actually comes from the 17th century French word piquenique or something like that. I don't know. My French. Hey, mercy, mercy. That's my French. It's used to describe social gatherings in which you bring food or other items. It has nothing to do with racially motivated killings and hangings. But the IT department, and dealing with its Words Matter Task Force in Michigan, says at the University of Michigan, yes, it's offensive, as is brown bag. And for brown bag, when they have a brown bag meeting, now they're saying don't put brown bag meeting, say lunch and learn. I don't know, lunch and learn? Then they're going to criticize if I bring out fried bologna with cheese on it. Or spam. Maybe you had spam. Or Vienna sausage. You ever had Vienna sausage? Do you eat that goop all around? No. You wash that off, don't you? Oh, Harvard Medical School, another institute of higher learning. In a Twitter account. Points, this is something you've got to be aware of. It says, globally, ethnic minority pregnant and birthing people suffer worse outcomes and experiences during and after pregnancy and childbirth. Did you catch what they did there? Globally, ethnic minority pregnant and birthing people. So people? Are you talking about humans? Well, if you're talking about humans, don't you mean women? Oh, no. They use birthing people for a purpose because they don't want to take the claim that only women give birth of humans. They have decided referring to women as birthing people is just wrong. It's offensive. It basically categorizes them. The tweet then adds, a webinar panelist used the term birthing person to include those who identify as non-binary or transgender because not all who give birth identify as women or girls. They are a woman or girl biologically if they're going to be able to give birth, but you can't call them that. Over the summer, Harvard ranked number one as best education schools in the U.S. according to U.S. News and World Report, promoted the claim that 2 plus 5, 2 plus 2 equals 5. The Harvard director said, have you ever thought to yourself, how do I know that 2 plus 2 equals 4? Why isn't 2 plus 2 plus 5, 2 plus 2 equal 5? He said, why some people think 2 plus 2 equals 5 and why they're right. Are you confused? I am. But I will tell you this. I will honestly tell you that at one point, deep in my education, previous years, I told you I wasn't good at math. First math in third grade, longest 3 years of my life. But I remember rounding time, I was doing a double check my work, and 2 + 2 did equal 5, and I thought I was right. So I guess after all these years, I've been proven right? Not likely. Stand by for the next hour. Please, you're going to like it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.